As we've been hearing ad infinitum, tomorrow's primaries in Texas and Ohio may determine the Democratic nominee. Last November, as part of our States of the Union series, we looked at politics in the state of Texas, but a lot has happened in the ensuing 3 months. And joining me now for an update is Ross Ramsey, the editor of Texas Weekly, a newsletter on government and politics in Texas politics. I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our States of the Union series. Hi, Ross.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. Maybe we should start with something you said about the importance of the Texas primary the last time you were on this show. You ready?
Yeah, I think these are probably good words to eat.
No, I hate to ask these questions, but go ahead. Make any predictions? Or do you think that everything will change when the primaries in the other states have pretty much decided how things are going to go?
Well, I think most of the political watchers here are kind of resigned to the fact that we don't get to play. On the other hand, we all sort of nurture the hope that the game will go late, and on March 4th, Texas will decide the whole thing for the whole country. So that's our fantasy.
And so this has been a dream come true for the Texas political watchers.
Oh, this is great. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much has changed since February 5th wasn't decisive. Obama and Clinton had virtually no organization on the ground on February 6th. I think the most recent poll, you know, when they came to the state, I think the most recent available poll was 6 or 8 weeks old, and it just was a throwdown question on somebody else's poll. So nobody even really polled the presidential race, and they've gone from 0 to 60 in less than 30 days.
And the assumption when we spoke last time was that Hillary Clinton was going to take the state by a wide margin. Has it tightened?
It has. It tightened and then opened again. When they did that first poll, finally, when the race came here, Clinton was up by 8 or 10 points, but it was closing rapidly. And the polls since then have had the candidates basically within the margins. This poll will have Obama ahead. This poll will have Clinton ahead, but within the margin of error. And she's actually begun to get some traction again. So the momentum is no longer his, and it's a jump ball. It's a very close race.
And why do you think that is? Is it has her 3 a.m. ad, which started running in Texas over the weekend, been effective?
I think it has. They're both up very heavily here, as you can imagine. It's unusual to have presidential races advertising in Texas, but they're both, you know, on TV kind of wall to wall. And I think that ad has got some traction. I think he peaked a little bit, and after the conversations, you know, sort of the political conversation for a while was Obama's got momentum, he's moving, and then it was Clinton fights back, and he began to get a little more scrutiny, and it's turned.
Well, they're both campaigning in your state today. What themes have they emphasized in their campaign stops?
They are basically talking, you know, in a broad sense, they're talking about he's talking about judgment and she's talking about experience. And, you know, you've seen that on the news, you know, no matter where you are in the country. And that's kind of where the conversation is. That was the point of the 3 a.m. ad. She was, you know, whose hand do you want picking up the red phone? And he countered very quickly with a very similar ad. I think it used some of the same pictures, in fact, that said, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. Don't you want someone with proven judgment? So I think that's kind of the closing argument from the two.
There has been some media speculation that if Mike Huckabee doesn't do well in Texas, he'll end his campaign. Obviously, John McCain thinks he's going to do great. He took the weekend off, didn't he?
Yeah, he made some stops, but they're basically fundraising stops. He was in Dallas, and he was in Houston on Friday, and I think he did something. I think Dallas might have been a Sunday thing or a Saturday deal. But he's basically doing fundraising. He's not doing rallies. He's not doing that kind of thing. Huckabee came in here. I think last time we talked, the Huckabee-McCain race was pretty high-pitched, and the possibility was that that would come to Texas and Huckabee might do well here. You're right, McCain's mostly ignoring him now.
When you were on the program in November, we talked about which issues will get out the vote in Texas, and you mentioned the anti-war vote, immigration, the desire for change. Have they continued to be the big issues?
They have to a great extent. You know, when we talked before, my premise at the time was that we would have more of a Republican race here than a Democratic one, and that's, you know, how the national table looked at the time. With the fight mostly on the Democratic side, the immigration issue has faded some. It's not a real difference between Obama and Clinton, and it's not as high-pitched an issue in the Democratic primary here as it is in a Republican primary. Healthcare has been a big deal, and their differences are small, but they've been, you know, emphasizing them a lot. And education has faded a little bit. The war in Iraq has come down to, as I said, that question of, you know, her experience versus his judgment, each making that argument.
Have there been any indications as to what's happening with the early voting period in Texas?
Early voting is off the charts. I'll give you a quick example. I ran these numbers just a minute ago. The early vote in the last presidential election in Texas drew 259,000 voters. The early vote in this one drew 1.1 million voters.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just off the charts. Interestingly, in there, the Secretary of State here, which is the state elections office, tracks the top 15 counties in the state. They account for about 60% of the vote. And generally speaking, five or six of those counties are really important Republican strongholds. And they're generally suburban counties around Houston and Dallas and Austin. And this time, all but one of those counties in the top 14 counties in the state voted overwhelmingly in the Democratic primary. So, you know, the question, we don't know how they voted yet, of course. We'll know that tomorrow. But the question here is whether this is a restructuring election. If the Democratic Party, which hadn't had a really good pitched statewide race in Texas since 1990, is that party getting revived here, or is this just a momentary blip?
Or is it because there is a race between the Democrats and the Republican one is pretty much a foregone conclusion by now? The Republicans have a pretty straightforward primary system, but the Democrats have one of the weirdest ones of any state in Texas. Can you tell us how they decide things?
It's 32 pages, so I'll try to be brief. It's kind of a two-step. It's a, you know, we vote like everybody else does, and that accounts for about half of our delegates. And they're, you know, they're chosen according to the popular vote. And then what happens is there's a caucus system built into it, too. So when the polls close at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Democrats will go back to their polling places, or some of them will go back to their polling places, and they'll begin to caucus, and they'll choose a bunch of delegates. And then there's a third set of delegates who are the superdelegates.
So people will have voted and then also vote again, in effect, when they go to the caucuses?
Right. So that's why we call it the two-step. So you can go to a caucus. You know, usually the caucuses are moribund things. You know, you're lucky if you get three or four people and someone brings coffee. This time they expect them to be packed, and in fact both campaigns are trying to game this and say, you know, there's a memo out to Hillary's supporters today that say, be sure to go to the caucus and be sure that one of us gets elected secretary of your caucus meeting, because that's an important position. They're into all of this Byzantine detail. It's quite a show. It's a system even Texas political reporters have you know, never paid attention to. It's just never been important like it is here.
I assume that some people are saying to the party, you have to change this.
There are some people saying that. I think there'll be more of that depending on the outcome. If the caucuses have a much different result from the popular vote, you know, they'll be screaming and, you know, we'll replace the Florida poster on your wall, I guess.
Can early voters participate in the caucuses?
Yes, as long as you vote in a primary, as long as you vote in the Democratic primary, you can participate in the caucus.
So then there's another weird factor. The number of delegates at stake in each district is determined by the voter turnout in the last few elections.
Right.
So a lot more people might be feel inspired to vote in this election, but their vote won't count as much because they weren't as motivated the last time.
Right. So it's disproportionate. And the way it works out with this particular set of elections is there are two state Senate districts, one in Dallas, one in Houston, that are African-American seats. And they voted disproportionately, the voting there was disproportionately high. And so those two seats account for more delegates, you know, each than any other single Senate districts. And in some cases, you know, one of those seats counts for 13 delegates, and that swamps two or three other Senate districts out in rural areas of the state. So
is it assumed that that will help Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama?
It was assumed initially that it would help Hillary because I think that thinking's turned because they're predominantly African American seats, and that vote has, you know, appears to be going to Obama. It's very early to say that, but that's what, you know, that's kind of anecdotally what it looks like.
Well, we're not going to come back to you and rub this in your face if things turn out differently.
By all means, do. We should all eat broken glass when we talk.
But thank you so much for talking with us again. Russ Ramsey, editor of Texas Weekly, which is a newsletter on government and politics.
Thanks for having me.
In Texas. It's been a pleasure talking with you again.